Wednesday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All studio at the Avenue downtown Milwaukee. Joshie DiMaggio is here. Will Summers is here for a Will Summers Wednesday. Wednesdays with Will. It's like Tuesdays with Maury, although much less sad. Hunter Vaughn is producing the show back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. And, you know, the question everybody is asking on the day after the Bucks get eliminated by the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the NBA playoffs is, who would win in a fight, 100 men or one gorilla? Will, you didn't get to chime in on this debate yesterday. Your team, 100 men, right?
It's definitely 100 men. I spent the better part of my Monday watching videos of gorillas fighting each other among other animals, and I've determined after my research it would be the 100 men.
Okay. Josh has been really on a kick of watching simulations of gorillas versus men. I walked in on him, right? It sounds like you're catching like your teenage son watching something he shouldn't be as you walk into the room. I walked into the room this morning just to see Josh watching 1 million men versus, what was it, 100,000 gorillas?
I believe it was 10,000 gorillas versus 1 million men.
And it was just a bloodbath for the men.
Yeah. I'm on Will's side. I don't think people accurately understand what sheer numbers do. And they have a hard time imagining just how overwhelming 100 people attacking one singular being would be.
Correct. Now, if we change the question to 100 men versus four gorillas, I might have a different answer.
Yeah, because I mean, I think the most positive survival rate if it's 100 men versus one gorilla is like 75. Yeah. So one per 25, I think, would be a real problem. Real problem.
All right. Good stuff, guys. That was good. So let's talk about it, shall we?
Do we have to?
Overtime. Yeah, we got to. Overtime. Game 5 in Indiana. The Bucks lead by 7 with 40 seconds remaining. And they ultimately lose on a Tyrese Halliburton layup.
Can I say something?
Yeah, that's why you're here.
What happened after really helped out Giannis for getting blown by to end the game?
That's a good point.
He skated on that a lot. That's a guy you got to keep in front of yourself.
Yeah.
Thankfully for Tyrese Halliburton's father, who decided to storm the court, I think that's getting a lot of undue attention.
I think that's a fair point.
Yeah.
I think that's a very fair point. And we will get to, obviously, Halliburton's father and the aftermath of the total meltdown that it was from the Milwaukee Bucks. Chef Ed chimes in. I'm glad Chef Ed chimed in because I gotta talk about this. So Chef Ed said, Strofe, I take full blame for the Bucks loss. I sent a premature tweet. The tweet Chef Ed sent me directly was, Strofe, I'm so happy I could kiss ya with 3 lips emojis. Because I yesterday on KBN said, you got to lose 3 in order to win in 7. And it was looking like the Bucks were going to have a chance to make it 7 if Game 6 came back to Milwaukee. So Chef Ed, amongst some others, I think every announcer in America that was on that game jinxed that game.
Total meltdown. Outwardly said to my wife, when Giannis made that layup and put them up by 7, I went, oh, the game's over.
Yeah, I did too. I said the Bucks are winning. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we make of me?
Uh-oh.
Who might have some text messages out there that read, what a waste of time to win this game.
So what we're saying is that collectively as Bucks fans, we jinxed this team.
Well, no.
You guys were excited. I was more negative. Like, we're just going to carry out the funeral another few days.
Yep. That's correct. And that's what they likely would have done, but ultimately the funeral ends in overtime in Game 5 as the Pacers win 119-118. It was an epic meltdown. I mean, it is... But it was such a fitting way to end this Bucks season, right? Because when you look at what the Bucks season was, it was hilariously ridiculous. Like, it was just stupid, the Bucks season. Let's just reminisce for a moment. The Bucks started their season 2-8. They stunk. They had one of the worst records in the NBA through 10 games of the season. They were 2-8. Okay, then they get the thing back on the wheels, right? I remember back in November and December.
You get it back on the tracks.
That's what I meant to say. I remember back in December, we sat down here, Joshy, and I looked at, I think it was a 12-game stretch. And I said, they've got a shot to win all 12 of these games. And I think they ended up going 10-2 or 9-3 in that stretch, and they were back on the tracks. Then you get to the All-Star break, and they're kind of in the mix, and then all of a sudden you get the Damian Lillard news, right? Damian Lillard's got a blood clot.
Skipped it.
Oh, Bobby Portis suspension?
Yes.
Yeah, Bobby Portis gets suspended. Oh, my goodness, I forgot about that one. So Bobby Portis allegedly takes some wrong pills and gets told he's got to sit for 25 games. And then you get the Damian Lillard news of blood clot in his leg. And then the Bucks and Giannis start playing some of the best ball they've played all season. They end the regular season by winning 8 straight games and clinching the 5 seed, giving them a rematch with the Indiana Pacers. And this Bucks team seemed like they were geared up a little bit better than last year, dependent on Damian Lillard's return. And guess what you get in Game 2? Damian Lillard's return. And then what happens in Game 4? Well, how about a different season-ending injury for Damian Lillard as he tears his Achilles? And then in the final game of the season, the Bucks open on a 13-0 run. They blow that little lead they had. Up by 6 at halftime. They go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in the second half. We go to overtime. The Bucks have a 7-point lead with 40 seconds left. They blow it. And then Giannis gets into a scrum with Tyrese Halliburton's father after the game. I mean, it is just the perfect ending for a ridiculously stupid season.
Another person who has skated because of the interaction after the game.
AJ Green.
Gary Trent.
Oh, yeah.
Turnover. The ball going between. If he holds onto the ball, the game's over.
I feel like I jinxed Gary Trent Jr. Had a bad tweet.
I saw
tweet.
Your tweet.
Yeah. He hit 3 threes in OT, and I go, Gary Trent Jr. in OT greater than LeBron. And maybe, 3 minutes later, had to quote tweet myself saying tweets that age like milk. That was bad.
Yeah.
I had a rough
see that
night.
One.
Wow. So we all suck.
Yep.
What a dumb season for the Bucks. And poorly timing sneeze there. Oh, hold on, more. One more coming.
Double whammy.
Oh, maybe not.
Look at the light.
No, I'm gonna go ahead and
say
try
big
to do
orange
my job
carrot,
Joshy.
Look at the light. Stops it every time.
Did you just sneeze?
I coughed.
Oh, okay. Bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, so all in all, I forgot what I was going to say, to be real honest with you. Just a really dumb season and an awful ending. And, you know, Gary Trent, to Hunter's point, was awesome for the most part in last night's game. Finished with a team-high 33. As he mentioned, hit 3 threes in overtime. For a while there, was the only guy that had scored in overtime for the Bucks. Single-handedly kept them alive in that OT. And then, I don't want to say he single-handedly ruined them in OT.
Did have 2 awful turnovers.
Correct. His only 2 of the game. And Doc Rivers after the game pointed strictly to turnovers as the differentiator. The difference? I think I'm just...
Yeah, you made that way more complicated than it needed to be.
20 points to 16 points was points off turnovers. So it was a 4-point swing. And that's what Doc said changed the game. So there you have it. So let's get to Giannis. Let's get to the post-game, whatever the hell that was.
Kerfuffle?
Yeah. So, all in all, man, it looks completely unprompted. Giannis really did nothing wrong. Tyrese Halliburton's father stormed onto the court, which we are a security. I get he's somebody's dad, but let's chill out. He has a towel with Tyrese Halliburton posing on it. And it was a ginormous towel, by the way. It was like a beach towel. Very long. It wasn't just one of your normal towels. That was a big towel. And
I was caught off guard by the size of the towel.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't alone in that.
Underrated, hilarious part of the night was how big that towel was.
It was a big towel. And he's waving it in Giannis's face. And Giannis is just staring at him for a while. I don't think he put together who he was for a couple seconds.
Yeah, he admitted as much.
And then he finally walked up to him. And Giannis, in his post-game press conference, essentially saying what that guy said was, this is what we do, this is what we effing do. And Giannis had finally had enough, so he just went up to him. And my God, did Giannis tower over him. What a bad fight to pick if you're Tyrese Halliburton's father. What a bad fight to pick. And ultimately it ended. Tyrese Halliburton said he does not approve his father's actions. Giannis said he wasn't going to talk about it, then went on to talk about it for 3.5 minutes and pretty much give his side of the story, which I think was necessary for him to do. And we will await what type of punishment will come out of this for the elder Halliburton. But to me, this was, number one, completely unprofessional on his behalf. And number two, should not be accepted behavior, no matter how far the Pacers get into the NBA playoffs, which I would imagine would be done next round when they face the Cleveland Cavaliers. He should not be allowed back in an NBA game, right? I mean, it's as simple as that to me. That behavior should not be allowed. If he wants to go onto the court, fine. Just go celebrate with your son. Stop talking bleep to a player who, you know, is a world champion, a multiple-time MVP, and dropped 30, 20, and 13 in an overtime loss last night. It just seems like the wrong guy to go ahead and talk your talk to. So that's my take on the situation. Any other takes, Joshy?
That interaction encapsulates America more than I think we can realize. First of all, it's the overeager parent, which is something that plagues youth sports and
big time.
Now professional sports. To choose to insert yourself in a way like that on an NBA court with all those cameras around, very bizarre, very childish, very unbecoming. One of those things that, you know, parents never want their kids to have to explain their actions for them, and that's what the situation Tyrese Halliburton's father put him in. Following his actions, let's say the people who have seen him be a referee have noted how much Tyrese Halliburton's father likes to make youth sports about himself, even as a referee.
Oh, interesting.
That has been something that has been said by more than one person who covers high school sports or youth sports. So that all there in and of itself is one of the better ways to just kind of take a snapshot of where are we in America when it comes to sports and parents and all that. You show Tyrese Halliburton's father storming onto the court. Secondly, why people decide that as normal sized humans, they should taunt athletes. I mean, Giannis is what, a top 10 person on earth you wouldn't want to fight, or athlete you wouldn't want to fight?
A person, probably. yeah.
Like, why people, and we see this happen a lot, and it's been happening more and more, where it appears as if fans think it's a smart idea to physically challenge athletes. I don't know if people understand how poorly that would go had things happened the way maybe they were pushing it towards. Like, we've seen Russell Westbrook getting this stuff. People go after LeBron. Like, what? Where's your self-preservation?
Yeah, non-existent.
I mean, like, even I'm around Brian Bulaga, and I'm like, I'm going to mind my P's and Q's. Not that he'd ever turn on me, but it's not going to end well for literally any of us.
No.
And he's retired.
Yeah.
And he's not 6'11".
No, I saw, I think it was Portnoy that tweeted, it looked like Giannis was eating him. Yes. When he started jaw-jacking.
Yes.
Which he probably could have done successfully.
That was all-time intimidation, the way he basically was looking through the top of Tyrese Halliburton's father's skull.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, that was little boying a grown man, if I've ever seen it happen. That was unbelievable. And then, just like, the simple fact of, you expect people and adults to behave a certain way, and that seems to not be the standard anymore. Like, imagine if that was one of your relatives, how embarrassed you would be. Yeah. Your son has a huge moment. They take down a former champion. He scores the winning layup. And what everyone's talking about after the game is, well, your dad decided to charge in front of one of the best players to ever play the game and shake a towel at him. Just bizarre. I don't think the punishment is going to be severe as you might think. I think he's going to be relegated to, you have to be in a box. Mm-hmm. In one of the, just not close to the court. I can't imagine they're actually going to ban him from games.
I think they should.
There's a difference between should and would.
Well, here's the thing, right? So I don't even think this is comparable because this one is a step far more severe because there was clearly physical interaction where the situation I'm about to bring up was not. But do we remember last season at Detroit when Matt LaFleur got into the bugaboo with the Lions fan who was holding the American flag for the national anthem?
Yes.
What'd the Lions do? Ripped his season tickets.
Yeah.
Right? They said this behavior is unacceptable.
Well,
and I understand he's not the father of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That guy's
or Jared Goff.
A nobody.
But this is reverse nepotism. Mm-hmm. Or is it still nepotism?
It's nepotism.
Wait, so nepotism can work if you're the father in this scenario?
Yeah, of course. It's familial relationships earning you things that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Oh, okay.
It traditionally happens son to father with like business, but yep. You don't think there's some young rich tech guys whose father and parents have jobs they don't deserve at their company? I would guarantee it. It can be brother to sister, sister to brother. Can be all that.
This is a good one from Ricky Spanish on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. 100 John Halliburtons versus 1 Giannis. Who you got?
I think you might need to get up to 200 John Halliburtons.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Just like we talked about with 100 Strokes versus 1 Gorilla.
Yeah.
Like, I you might choose the Gorilla in that scenario.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
This seems similar. I would take 1 Giannis over 100. I mean, just the sheer size difference.
Wingspan.
Giannis could kick these MFers into Mars.
Yeah.
That was just a hilarious sight to behold.
Another funny moment was Brook Lopez while everyone's fighting, just dapping up Boomer, the Pacers mascot. Good series, Boomer. Good work out there, Boomer.
We'll get to that later in what we learned, because that is just an unbelievable comedic cut from NBA TV. We'll get to that a bit later. Okay, let's get into this.
Well, I wanted to just say one thing on this, too, because I was going to UW Oshkosh while Tyrese was in high school at Oshkosh North. So I went to a number of Oshkosh North games, called Oshkosh North, Oshkosh West game. I said to my wife after this game, I was more surprised that it took this long for something to happen with Tyrese's dad. Because he was regularly the loudest person in that gym. And the games that Oshkosh North was playing, because Tyrese was playing in them, they were full gyms. Like, he was regularly the loudest person, the most vocal about things. So the fact that it took this long was really surprising.
I believe there were even instances of him approaching refs on the court during those games to tell them how much he disliked their calls.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Saw that happen firsthand. Guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. There you have that. So, obviously, the commentary is going to kick back up here as we enter the offseason for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the commentary we witness each and every offseason if the Bucks don't win a title, which they obviously have not done since 2021. And that, of course, is this the last time we saw Giannis Antetokounmpo in a Milwaukee Bucks jersey? I think the simple answer for me is no. And it's as simple as this. Number one, where is he going to go? Right. Obviously, the contract is not cheap. Teams don't have the capital in which it will take to trade for the second best player unanimously in the world in Giannis. Number two, Giannis is definitely not the type of guy to ask for a trade. Right. I mean, he's built this team from every regard we know. Right. He's signed off on the coaching decisions. He's signed off on trading Chris Middleton. He signed off on trading for Damian Lillard. He has, obviously, the leadership role, being the best player on the team and building this team into the champion it's been and the perennial contender it's been. But it's been Giannis's team. And I don't think you go anywhere where, number one, that is still the case to the level it is in Milwaukee. But number two, the case of, are you the guy, right? If you go to, and it's Giannis, so he's going to be the best player on any team he goes to, but I don't know where he ends up, where it makes sense for both sides. If you're Giannis, and what we know about Giannis is this is just not his style, but if you're Giannis and you say, all right, I've done everything I could here. I helped raise a banner. I won two MVPs. I made you into a perennial contender. Look at downtown Milwaukee. Look at the business side. Look at the impact I've had. It's time for me to go to New York or Chicago or LA or Dallas or wherever, right? One of the super large markets in the NBA. I don't know how you approach that conversation. Because if you go to John Horsey, the general manager, and you say, all right, I want out. Is Giannis the type of guy that would ask out publicly? Because he doesn't hit me as such. Because John Horst isn't going to say, okay, yeah, I gotcha. He's going to say, no, you're going to need to force your way out. And that's just not Giannis. So when I look at this, I would I understand if Giannis asked out? I think I would, yes. And would I hate him for it? I really don't think so, unless he went to the Pacers. Kevin Durant style. I don't know that I'd blame him if he asked out. I just don't think he's going to, and I think Giannis will be a Milwaukee Buck next season. Now, when it comes to the pieces around him next season, that's where you go, woof. It's not looking like a championship team in 25-26. But to me, it doesn't make the most sense for Giannis to leave rather than stay.
How so?
I just laid it out, right? I think from a perspective of he calls the shots, it's his team, and where would
Giannis
he go?
Is going to call the shots wherever he goes.
Right, but where is he going to go where he has a much significantly better opportunity to win? Like, what team has the trade capital, the draft capital, likely the pieces, the salary cap to acquire somebody like Giannis that it makes more sense for him to be there, right? Is he going to go to the Brooklyn Nets? Because if he goes to Brooklyn, obviously they become a playoff contender because it's Giannis. Any team he's on, you become a playoff contender. But for a team you've built essentially and had all the say in helping build, why start over in Brooklyn when everything you've built over the entirety of your career is right here in Milwaukee?
I don't think a Giannis trade would be as debilitating to some teams. If they send maybe some of their young players back, I think it's totally possible. What I'm having a hard time figuring out is, aside from blind loyalty, why on earth would Giannis want to be here?
I hear you.
The future is as bleak as you can imagine.
Sure. It is bleak because obviously the Damian Lillard Achilles tear.
Yes.
You don't know when he'll be back.
And you don't have draft assets.
No.
You don't have any real recourse to rebuilding this team because of the nature of the way that the salary cap in the NBA is constructed with the aprons and all that fancy stuff that he would be, essentially, and I don't say this lightly, wasting 2 years of his career.
I think you can make that case. I hear you because the Dame part is obviously the really tough part here.
Yeah.
But
that was the material change.
But the last 4 years, I think it's hard for Giannis to look at it and be like, yep, those were missed opportunities. They just haven't been healthy. And Giannis, for two of those years, was the reason they weren't healthy, right? He was obviously out. So two of those postseasons, there was nothing John Horst could do. Right. All John Horst can do going forward is saying, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this team better. We've got good pieces. We saw what Gary Trent Jr. was capable of in the postseason, minus the two turnovers in overtime. We saw what Kevin Porter Jr. could do. We're going to go out and we're going to make an effort to get Naz Reid or a better big that can be more efficient and effective than a guy like Brook Lopez in the postseason, who I know Giannis is loyal to, but it's obvious Brook Lopez ain't it anymore. So I think
you're misinterpreting my point. It's not that he's unhappy. It's that he looks at the future and sees it as a dead end.
Right, but I don't know that you can make a much better case for a team that would then have to trade all of their draft capital in order to acquire him. Right, I don't think he can go to Brooklyn.
Draft capital is what the Bucks are obviously going to want as they try and rebuild, but
right.
He wants to be paired with stars or up-and-comers or places where that would make sense.
And I hear you, but I don't know that there is. And obviously a lot can change in the NBA. We've seen it time and time again,
yes.
Right? A lot can change fast. But as it stands right now on April 30th, there really isn't a good option out there for Giannis.
That's what we think. We don't know that to be the case when it happens. I don't know what the trade scenario is that makes the most sense for him. But I do know there ain't reinforcements coming to the Bucks. You can get slightly better in the margins, hopefully.
And then obviously you hope you can get a healthy Damian Lillard back in playoff time next year.
I mean, that is...
It's optimistic.
That is a type of optimism that I don't think anybody would really prescribe to. It's taken really good athletes 18 months to come back, especially in basketball.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hear me out on this, okay? Just looking at draft lottery odds right now. The Jazz, Wizards, and Hornets all sit at 14% for the number one pick. Okay. Let's just hypothetically say the Jazz get the number one pick. Why not just send Giannis to the Jazz to get Cooper Flagg plus two firsts and just say, hey, you know what? We tried. There we go. You got Cooper Flagg then, and you can build. Like, I understand this level of Giannis stayed when he didn't need to stay, and he could have left. But there's also a level of the Bucks need to get something for him sooner rather than later, because when that contract's up, I don't think he re-signs. And I would rather go and get Cooper Flagg, not just because he played at Duke, but go get the number one pick and at least make that move. Because as a fan, I can understand John Horst doing that, and I can rationalize why they're making that move. And then I'm going to become a Utah Jazz fan at the same time, too, by the way.
So hold on. We all realize the absurdity of this, right? Okay, we're all on the same page. Hunter, you included.
Yes. I'm just like, okay. I feel like they need to do something sooner rather than later.
Okay, so they being the Bucks in this scenario.
Yes.
I will just say this. We're going to move on from this. I don't think Giannis would be thrilled about the idea of going to play in Salt Lake City.
Okay. And guess what? I'm not going to be thrilled about the idea of him going and signing with the San Antonio Spurs in 3 years when Victor Wembanyama is back from his blood clot stuff and he's tearing it up and Giannis wants to go and win a title. So I would rather see the team say, hey, you know what? We tried. We got the one ring. Let's just move on now and just do it. Like, sucks for Giannis that he's going to be somewhere he doesn't want to be. But guess what? I loved the Bucks before Giannis was there. I'm going to love the Bucks after Giannis is gone. So I would rather see the Bucks do something to try and keep their future going than, oh, Giannis is gone. We got nothing out of it except for one ring. And now we have no assets off of him.
As I often felt with Aaron Rodgers, I feel with Giannis. I will live and die with the best player in franchise history. If that means in 3 years he walks away, or if he retires, or whatever happens in the future, I am willing to live and die with Giannis every day of the week.
Argue that all you want. I think that's how you end up being a loser. That's how you run your franchise into the ground, and you end up with no assets, a bleaker future than you imagined, and you're just stuck in no man's land.
So you are advocating to move on from Giannis this offseason.
Yeah, because how do I look Giannis in the face and say, yeah, you should be a member of the Bucks? Build that story for me and don't include just blind loyalty.
Well, I think that's a huge part of it, though, right? I think blind loyalty is a huge part of
that. The only part.
Yeah, I guess to a point you're right, but obviously you can set it up of, hey, didn't go the way we wanted. We can, all I can do, if I'm John Horst, right? If we're role playing, you're Giannis, I'm John Horst. All I can set it up as is we are going to get better this offseason. Dame's going to come back stronger and better than ever at some point, and we're going to have the opportunity. When you're here, the championship window is still open.
Say the Oklahoma City Thunder come with a trade offer. And as we know, things happen in the background, whether they are legal or not legal, and maybe SGA starts talking to Giannis. How do you talk him out of that? Say the New York Knicks come.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an offer. We're going to pair whoever we keep here, be it you, Brunson. You probably would have to trade Kat in that situation. Why am I staying in Milwaukee, John Horst?
Because I'm going to get better. I'm going to make all the moves. You're going to have approval on everything. We're going to move on from Doc.
And
we're going to bring in whoever you want.
And that's why I think being using his meaningful years and acquiring as much as humanly possible for him rather than him playing out his time here is the best. We have to understand that the Bucks don't want to lose Giannis, what he provides in terms of valuation of the franchise, selling season tickets, having people in the arena is very, very important. But you also have to think of the future, because if you ride it out with Giannis, you have no assets, you have no Giannis, and you have to basically start from scratch, that's going to be even worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be bleaker than life without Giannis as you rebuild and try and make a run for the future.
As you advocate for it, because I find it interesting, right? You're making really good points and fair points. I'm not going to dismiss that whatsoever. I struggle with the idea that John Horst would be open to it, right? Do you think the general manager of the Bucks goes, you know what, it's better for our team to just blow this puppy up?
If you want to be honest, I think John Horst, from all I understand him as a pretty savvy team builder, good GM, mm-hmm. I would bet he would be on my side, and the people above him would be on your side. In terms of the Haslams looking at him and going, nah, we're not trading that guy.
Yeah, they just went through that with Myles Garrett in Cleveland, right?
Yeah. John Horst was thinking, my job is based on the success of the team and building a team and creating winners. I know how screwed we are.
Here's the thing, though. John Horst, to your point, is a savvy team builder. He knows what goes on in the NBA. 3 months ago, he just watched a general manager trade one of the best players in franchise history.
Yeah.
How's that working out for him?
Not great, but the Mavs also weren't in that situation, and I also think it's way different where
the Mavs also didn't get future assets out of it. They got still win now assets out of it. I also, we need to go back to your I'll be better point. Like, what has John Horst done to show that he really is? Like, I'm looking at his draft picks right now. He had DJ Wilson, Dante DiVincenzo. That those are his two best draft picks. Like, dude can't draft. And that's part of the issue with this team right now. And you can't just rely on signing guys. And even the guys that he's been signing, they haven't been good long-term fixes.
I mean, right. I guess when you look at teams like Boston, right? A team that is just so deep and so good and homegrown for the most part. You're right. And
well, how did they get there, though? That's making draft picks in the top five.
Correct. Right. You get a Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
You get a Marcus Smart, who's obviously not there anymore, but was part of that team for so long, and Jaylen Brown, etc. The Bucks haven't picked in the top 20 for years at this point. Years. And now they don't really have assets to draft because they went into win now mode and traded for Damian Lillard and everything else that went into it.
I think looking at what John Horst has done in a vacuum is also unfair to him.
Correct.
Because a lot of the moves, I heard Chris Canty this morning on The Sportsman, like when it was brought up that the reason Adrian Griffin was the head coach of the Bucks was because of Giannis. And he said, well, you need to take control of your team. That works in the NFL. That doesn't work in the NBA. That's not how things go. I also think a lot of the moves that happened were because of Giannis.
Oh, totally.
And some of the players maybe sticking around for too long or being members of the team was because of Giannis. If we remember back, Giannis was mad that Jason Kidd was fired. I think a sober-minded Giannis would know now that was absolutely the right move.
Yeah, totally.
But at the time, he was upset about
super
it.
Super upset.
But he didn't have the power to, at that point in his career,
He wasn't the MVP.
Right.
He may have been an all-star, almost an all-star. Might have been his first all-star. I mean, he was...
He was clearly on the ascent to becoming one of the better players in the league, but he was not the shot caller correct. That he is right now.
And he is the shot caller now, despite, obviously, there being actual shot callers.
Yes.
Giannis is involved in all those conversations.
Uh-huh.
Adrian Griffin, Doc Rivers,
mm-hmm.
Drew Holiday out, Damian Lillard in, Chris Middleton out, Kyle Kuzma in. Giannis, on the record, is involved in all of those decisions. It's been reported multiple times.
You mentioned Dame Lillard there, and I also want to go back to just 3 years ago, Damian Lillard was the guy who would never ask out.
Correct.
So using that for Giannis, I think might be pushing our limits of somebody we feel like we know
I still think it's different. I just think it's a little, and to your point, it's a really good point because you're right. Dame was that guy, right? Dame was Mr. Portland.
He crapped on the super teams.
Yeah.
He like very publicly was anti Warriors, I believe was his main, and he didn't like the KD thing and I want to build it here. And then quickly he became the guy to, I'm making a public mess, you have to trade me thing.
Yeah.
That seemingly happened overnight there.
Totally. And the difference, obviously, with Giannis.
I have a hard time seeing Giannis do it. I'm just saying.
I know you do.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We all do because we recognize the true difference, which is Giannis did not grow up in the United States. This is where he grew up, right? I mean, he became who he is in the city of Milwaukee. So that goes back to your blind loyalty point. And that's at play a little bit more with this guy than anybody else ever.
Yes.
So all in all, we will see. But I'm sad. We're all sad. Yeah. And I can officially declare Giannis watch on, as it's reported today that John Horst and Giannis will meet this week to discuss the future. And
that's just an exit meeting, right?
Yeah,
that's what I assume.
It's literally just their exit interview that every team does every year. Yeah. But it's Giannis and the NBA. Yeah. NBA at large does not want Giannis in Milwaukee. Like, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's not, like, that's the truth of this. So the second
I
you hear...
I would say, though, because when we opened this segment, I said the commentary is beginning already, and we hear it every year. I will say, though, despite the fact I guarantee I will stick in my claim all offseason long that I think Giannis will be a Buck in 25-26, it's more real than it's ever been.
Yeah.
It makes the most sense for both sides now than it ever has. And that's why I wanted to do the conversation today, because this is the first time I actually want to give it some oxygen, because to Joshy's points that he's made a lot of that are good points, it does make a little bit of sense for the Bucks all of a sudden.
Uh-huh.
And prior to this year, I don't think any of us as Bucks fans would go, yep, Bucks are, it's a better move for the Bucks to move on now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We'd never say that. And to Hunter's point, you know, to a point, at large, the stars are in New York, the stars are in L.A., the stars are in Dallas, the stars are in Atlanta, the stars are in these big markets. Chicago, to a point. Obviously, they don't really have a star
now. That's Reinsdorf.
But that's Reinsdorf, right. Oh, by the way. Will, you're a White Sox fan, aren't you?
Yep.
What do you think of these new uniforms, the crossover uniforms between the White Sox and the Bulls, that on the collar, did you guys see this?
Commemorates the championships of
the White Sox and the Bulls. But the White Sox are what? 1906, 1917, and 2005?
Yeah, I mean, this is just a classic Jerry Reinsdorf trying to save money using recycled old Chicago Bulls jerseys to make his new City Connect jerseys. That is the only cool wrinkle, though, is the championships. I like that, because people do forget Michael Jordan did play for the White Sox, but they just didn't play into that whatsoever. Like, they avoided the one, like, super obvious connection to the two teams and just played off of, oh, we're in the same city.
I had a point that I've now forgotten.
I apologize. More real than ever, I keep saying.
Yeah. Oh, we also, in your timeline, you forgot to mention trading Giannis's best friend that isn't a relative of his to the Washington Wizards for one of the worst players in all the NBA basketball. I don't care what you have to say about Kyle Kuzma. That was a bad trade.
Yeah. I mean, we said it that day, too.
And I can't say, I have to be careful here.
Oh, just say it.
I think if John Horst had no other influences, he wouldn't have made that trade.
Okay.
I don't think anyone really believed in that trade.
No, I mean, I remember the show we did the day it happened, right? We went live on the radio 12 to 2. We broke it down. And I think everybody, and we took a ton of calls, I think everybody's takeaway was, this doesn't feel like an upgrade.
Yeah.
Right? For a team that thought they were back in the championship hunt after turning around the season, and you're totally right. I missed the Chris Middleton trade. it felt that day like, okay, they didn't get in intensely better. Now, the good move is they also made the Marjon Beauchamp for Kevin Porter Jr. move, which did help them. I mean, obviously, yes. He was a key contributor down the stretch.
The other thing I wanted to add to that is the moment that trade happened and the next day, I said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I don't know how close there is to Giannis asking out of Milwaukee, but we got one step closer today, and that was following the trade.
Yeah, but he probably had. I don't think he didn't give the green light.
I think Giannis also saw, and I believe I made this point like the show after this happened, that like at least Kyle Kuzma was playing in these games.
Yes.
Like, I think Giannis understood that to that trade, and that's why he hated it, but was like, hey, Kuzma, barring something crazy, is going to play.
It's the old availability is the best ability.
Yep.
Giannis distanced himself from that trade a lot more than he did Drew Holiday's.
That is true. I will give you that.
And I don't think that was unintentional. I think he had to be convinced of it. And I don't think he particularly liked it, but he also realized at some point here we have to do something because if we can't count on Chris, we're screwed.
Okay. We are quickly running out of time. And we have a lot of stuff to get to. But as I just said, Giannis watches
is that
officially.
The most hoops talk we've done since, well, we did do a lot of
March Madness.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most
obviously the
NBA.
Chris Middleton trade we did a lot.
Yeah.
That is the deepest in the Bucks we've gone in a while.
I'm glad you got me in here, your NBA guy, to help you out.
I'm the NBA guy here, and yeah, the 37 minutes ain't bad on the Bucks season-ending loss to the Indiana Pacers. But Giannis watch officially on. We will continue to dive into this over the course of the next 2 months until we finally figure out what's going to happen, and it might be even longer than that.
One last thing:
can we do better than Giannis watch?
No, not right now. I don't think so. Giannis publicly asks for a trade. You are shocked or understanding?
Yes.
Because if he publicly asked for a trade, I'd go, yeah, saw it coming.
I'm both. Shocked might be strong. I'd be surprised.
Is that our Wisconsin sports fan pessimism? Because I saw a lot of those tweets about like, oh, this is Wisconsin sports heartbreak again. Like, is that just what we've been conditioned to? I know. I understand that you hate it, Strofe, but it is a real thing that is happening to this fandom of this state.
But it's not a real thing because this is a team that won the freaking NBA Finals 4 years ago.
People are tweeting about it. It is a real thing. Whether you like it or not does not change whether it's real.
You're right. The internet is real. People are being whiny. That's different than real.
I do want to just say, the last two playoff exits for Wisconsin teams, pro sports teams, have come in nearly unbelievable fashion.
Unbelievable heartbreak. I'm not disagreeing with that. We're just unlucky. It's not Wisconsin sports all coming together and going, hey, man, will you look at that script?
Well, I think
we're
going to
break
the
hearts again.
Fault.
I agree.
Recursed.
It's all Aaron Rodgers' fault.
His ayahuasca trip changed something
in the universe.
We went down to a different timeline.
Uh-huh. Big time.
All right. Good stuff, everybody. Let's get to this real quick. Rob Domofsky reporting yesterday for ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation's reporter, that all options are on the table when it comes to cornerback Jaire Alexander and the Green Bay Packers. He could be traded, he could be cut, or a reunion still possible for the former All-Pro cornerback and the Green Bay Packers. Brian Gutekunst said last Monday in his pre-draft press conference that he needs to get through the draft and then they'll reevaluate where they're at with Jaire. And the only move they made at that position in the NFL draft was drafting a guy that likely would have gone undrafted, but they had a top 30 visit with, spent a seventh round pick on him. That's Micah Robinson out of Tulane, a guy obviously they like. So long and short of it is that they didn't really change the room at all, right? They brought in a seventh round pick. He might be a practice squad guy, might be a depth guy, depending on how they feel about Kalen King, who was their seventh round pick a year ago. But all in all, it looks to me like the Jaire back in Green Bay scenario is very much back on the table, and certainly something I would be for, because Jaire, and again, this goes back to something we just said about Chris Middleton, availability, obviously the best ability, right? You want your best players on the court or the field in this scenario. And Jaire just hasn't been the last several years, but I'm willing to run it back. I mean, obviously, there's contract things to look at, right? Like Rob Domofsky brought up on KBN yesterday, when the Packers extended Mason Crosby back in 2013, there were a lot of performance-based incentives in order to get his earnings back to what they would have been. And I think that's probably the approach to take with Jair. If you play this amount of games, if you do this, if you do that, you can get back to your certain incentives. I just think it doesn't hurt to give it one more try. Now, we've been through the David Bakhtiari situation. I get that. But I mean, I love the youth movement. I love that the Packers have been the youngest team in the league. It's a cool thing. They're clearly up-and-comers. There's natural development that will happen for some players on this team. Veteran presence doesn't hurt, though, right? And I like Carrington Valentine. I like Keyshawn Nixon. I like the addition of Nate Hobbs. Having Jair in that room, though, makes it feel a little bit different of a level. It makes it feel a little bit better. It makes you a little bit more comfortable at corner. So I am declaring today that I am for the reunion of the Packers and Jair Alexander. Joshy, before we get to Will's Week in Review, your thoughts?
I would be happy to see Jair out on the field playing games for the Packers. I want Jair back, but I want him back on my terms or the Packers' terms.
Your terms being Goody's terms, I assume?
Yes, being a restructured contract that is incentive-laden based on playing time and success throughout the season. You can tier it. You play X amount of games. You get X amount of dollars. You tier that all the way up to a full season. And then you can add incentives even for him to possibly earn more money in the 2025 season. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for the Packers to pay Jair his total amount of money and to have no guarantees or no fallback options or insurance policy to that. I do think it is more likely than I believed even 2 days ago that Jair is back, but I still think it's most likely Jair ends up being cut. It is closer to 50-50 than I ever imagined. I was like 99% sure he would end up being cut. But the fact that there seems to be, through what Rob has said, and Adam Schefter heard the same thing, there seems to be something going on where Jair might realize it would be best for him to have a restructured contract, play out a year, ball out, and then go get another significant contract somewhere else.
Yep, totally agree.
And I think that would be... that is probably the best outcome for both sides, mm-hmm. where you get one more year, you play well, you play a lot, and then you go make your money, and we say, nice doing business with you. We wish you the best in the future.
Love it. JL and Alex, Blake, everybody that's super active in the chat, appreciate you hanging with us here. Chewy. And Dubs, not our Chewy, I don't think.
No, he does not know how to use it.
He's hanging out in the YouTube chat. Appreciate you chiming in on all things Bucks and all things Jair. All right. Each and every Wednesday, he's back, man. And he's fired up about this one, allegedly. Oh, boy. He's throwing something on.
Wardrobe change.
Oh, my God. Is that a Sean Duggan jersey?
Max.
Where would you even...
Or Max Duggan, excuse me?
Where would you even have one of those?
Why do you... TCU Max Duggan jersey, the former...
That's a great jersey.
TCU... Why do you own that?
239th overall pick in 2023.
It is time now for Will Summers' Week in Review in regard to the 2025 NFL Draft that occurred in Green Bay last week. Will, floor is yours, my friend.
Let's do it. Ooh. Quite possibly the biggest story of the weekend didn't even take place in the first round and even led all the way into Saturday. As former Jackson State and Colorado Buffalo star, son of Deion Sanders, Shiloh Sanders signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as an undrafted free agent. Congrats, Shiloh! Cam Ward was the number one overall pick, but with the news of the Jaguars trading up to take Travis Hunter in the fall of Shedeur Sanders overshadowing him, they might as well have just announced his name as Cam Third Ward. While the Giants' number three pick, Abdul Carter, will likely be known for beating left tackles to pressure the quarterback, he's already 0-for-1 against LTs after he asked Lawrence Taylor to wear his number 56 jersey. But much like myself on a night out, Carter was denied of getting the number.
That was good.
The Jaguars' number two pick, Travis Hunter, and the Patriots' number four pick, Will Campbell, kept getting confused for one another throughout the draft. But it wasn't Hunter who had the tiny hands. It was Campbell who had question marks surrounding him due to his resemblance to a creature from the 1993 hit film Jurassic Park.
See what he did there?
T-Rex arms.
Hunter, tiny hands. Uh-huh. See what he did there?
While some Bears fans, not me, were upset with them not drafting Tyler Warren with the number 10 pick, some other people, also not me, are saying that the Bears got the steal of the draft with Michigan tight end Colson Loveland. It's just some capital J journalism there. I actually didn't write that. I don't know how that got in there. While there were many questions on how the blocks would fall with his draft stock, Tetris McMillan found a fit with the Carolina Panthers in the number 8 slot. It wasn't neurosurgery with the 18th pick in the draft as the Seahawks added another gray to Seattle. While this gray's had little to do with anatomy, Gray Zabel does have something to say about cold beers, as his post-draft plans including diving into these Busch Lights. The Packers drafted a wide receiver for the first time in 23 years when they selected Matthew Golden with the 23rd pick. The last time they drafted one was in 2002. Any guesses as to who won the Super Bowl in 2002?
Ooh, I don't know the answer.
The Patriots.
Yeah, it was Bill Belichick's first Super Bowl. Since then, we've seen his offense significantly change as his girlfriend has now taken over calling the pass protections this year. And lastly, while some people considered Shedeur Sanders' draft pick as a fall compared to the projections, others said that his talent was overrated and being a fifth-round pick was perfect timing. With your NFL draft recap, I'm Will Summers.
All right. Very good. Very, very good as always. Just got a text from Dick in downtown. He says, does your producer, that would be Will, have a Savion Williams jersey on? No, that is...
No, that would have been a nice touch.
Was he number 15? Maybe we could edit the back.
Oh, maybe we could. I actually don't know what number he wore.
I'm going to guess it wasn't. 3 looks like his number.
Good touch, though. Good touch, though. All right. It's Wednesday. Got to get to this, and then we'll get to what we learned. Every Wednesday, Joshy and I try to answer with one word to different prompts in the sports world and maybe just the adjacent world that Hunter Vaughn has come up with for us. Over in the Everlight Solar Studios in downtown Madison, it's time now to play One Word Wednesday. But first, Chef Ed says Will gets an A+. Where did we find this kid?
Shout out, Chef Ed.
I found him at the local tavern. Said, wow, he'd be good at this.
Yeah, it wouldn't be hard to find me there.
Just like you after a long night out. You got denied the number.
Yeah, how much credit do I get for Will's ascendance into media dominance?
Do I get any credit?
Yeah, you get less. Me and Will worked together every single day for months.
Kind of like Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Hunter, it's time now to play One Word Wednesday.
All right. Falcons DC, Jeff Ulbrich, was fined $100,000 because his son got Shedeur Sanders' private number and prank called Shedeur on draft day.
Hilarious. It's objectively funny.
I'm going to say appropriate. There was a lot of people who were hoping for some sort of punishment for the son.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you can find
some sort
him.
Of a draft compensation punishment for the Falcons. Like, no one expects to have to hide their iPad from
their 21-year-old son, nonetheless.
Right.
But it's not like he's like 16.
Right. It's an appropriate thing. I mean, finding our parents for our behavior is a good enough. He's not doing so hot. What was his name? Jax Ulbrich?
Yeah, Jax.
He's having a bad time, too. Finding his dad $100,000 is fine, is good enough punishment.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever done that cost your parents money?
Honestly,
I don't know that I have anything.
Broke a couple of windows. That was about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I never really gotten like big time trouble that I can remember.
I never really did either. Will's smiling very
Will,
large.
What'd you do?
One time in high school, I remember I didn't really like cost them money, but they were paying for something. It was like a college prep course for like an ACT, and me and my friend would just tell the teacher that we had baseball practice every day, and we would just leave like after 10 minutes of being there. And eventually she called my parents and told them about it, and they weren't too happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. All right, what's next?
Also getting prank called were Abdul Carter and Kyle McCord.
Jax. Was it the same kid? I guess I don't know.
No, it was
I don't
different.
Think that detail's come out yet.
Kyle McCord said he got like 5 or 6.
Yeah. I don't think, because this obviously is not a new thing. It happened to Cooper DeJean, who was told he was going to be drafted by the Packers. I believe it also happened to an early pick from last year's draft. I forget who specifically.
Yeah.
But it seems like these numbers, and as we know, they're college kids who probably have the same phone number when they're going from college. So, like, it wouldn't be shocking if somebody had Abdul Carter's number because a friend of a friend, and then it just kind of makes its way down the line. I think what everyone needs to do is just once you enter the NFL draft, new phone number.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to avoid this. I can't imagine there's going to be many more Jack situations where they're taking it directly from
a coach,
coach or a team owned piece of equipment.
Yeah, the word is unfortunate, right? Like this sucks. Obviously, for kids that are or young adults that are taking this next professional step, it just sucks because there's a lot on the line, and there's no way to getting a new job quite like a draft. Right, I mean, like Will's about to graduate college. Premature congratulations, by the way. You graduate in what, 4 days?
Yep, Saturday.
Congratulations to you, Will.
Thank you.
But you're not getting drafted to a career in one of 32 cities, right? Like that's not what's happening to you in 4 days. Where that's the case here, so it's already nerve-wracking. And there's a lot of pressure. You put a lot of pressure on yourself. You're throwing parties. Everybody you love is there. What if you slip like Shador did? You all of a sudden have to have a 3-day party. I mean, it's nerve-wracking, so it's unfortunate.
The Detroit Pistons forced a Game 6 with a 106-103 win over the Knicks last night.
Yeah, epic game. I thought the Pistons were about to Bucks it, by the way, might I add, as it got down the wire there. It seems like they almost blew it when they pulled within one, but ultimately they hang on. Fun series, 3-2 now, but Pistons staying alive. I like it. So I would go... reverse is my word. Reverse of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Next is my...
The Denver Nuggets have the LA Clippers on the ropes, taking a 3-2 lead after their 131-115 victory.
Yeah, blowout is the word here, despite the score not indicating that. It was never really that close in the second half. It was all Nuggets all the time. I turned it off with about 5 minutes left. So they might have pulled within 10 at one point. I don't know, but blowout.
My word's going to be irrelevant. Is there a more expensive / less accomplished franchise than the Clippers?
It's fair.
Feels like they really want to be in the game of being serious contenders, and they just cannot.
Sick, sick new arena, though.
You want to talk about curses,
nice.
The Clippers could be cursed.
You know who was part of that curse for many years? The head coach of the Bucks.
Oh yeah. Forgot about that. Liverpool. Yeah, oh, yeah. Liverpool won the Premier League with 4 games left in the season, and their manager Arnie Slot's first season with the club.
Say it with me, Josh. 1, 2, 3. Next.
Former Wisconsin Badger basketball player Sarah Williams is transferring to UConn.
Ooh. Interesting. I didn't see this.
No.
She was a dog for the Badgers. It was unfortunate to see her hit the portal after Marissa Mosley stepped down. Interesting. I think that word is banned, but
yeah.
Good for her. But that's 3 words. Congratulations. That's my word. Congratulations.
How about disappointment? With as sort of lost as that program at Wisconsin seems to be. Women's sports at Wisconsin is a real thing. They are competitive. Ooh. They are in the mix. And it seems like that basketball program is just kind of drifting in the wind.
Real quick, Hunter, I hate to break in with some breaking news, but I do have some breaking Packers news coming in from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports. That is going to cut One Word Wednesday short before we get to what we learned. So before the show, I was reading an article on ESPN.com that was about the 2022 draft class. And all of the first-round picks, and whether or not their fifth-year options were picked up. There were 7 players who had nothing under their name, meaning the team had made no decision one way or another. 2 of those were Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt. According to Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, the Packers are exercising the fifth-year option on defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt. Devontae Wyatt, obviously, kind of a roller coaster career thus far. Was a rotational piece early. Started to break out in the first 4 weeks last season, then got injured in late September against the Minnesota Vikings and was just unable to get his role back. And by role, I mean R-O-L-L, not R-O-L-E, because he was still a starter on that defensive line. But he just
wasn't making quite the impact as really nobody on that defensive line did in the last three quarters of the season. But he's shown some good things, and that locks him in for $12.9 million in 2026. So you get two more years now of Devontae Wyatt, which I think is a good thing for the Packers, right? A first-round pick, an athletic guy, a guy who you believe in the trenches. And as we've said several times this offseason, Kenny Clark ain't going to be a Packer forever. So this is clearly a guy that they want to give another opportunity to as they pick up the fifth-year option on Devontae Wyatt.
I think this move is a direct reaction to the Packers not being able to get one of the DTs, defensive tackles, they may have coveted early in the draft. I think he becomes expendable and someone they would have decided to let that fifth year option go had they actually been able to get. I mean, Harmon was the one that the Packers were connected to who ended up going above him. Obviously, Walter Nolan was also connected to the Packers. He went much earlier than that. It makes sense, and it's not an impossible number. It's probably more than you'd like to pay him, but it's also a necessary thing you have to do to sort of shore things up there in the future based on what ends up happening with Kenny, how some of these young guys perform that are drafted that can play the defensive tackle position. I do think this is, with it being sort of solo news, I think we might be looking at a extension then for Quay Walker that guarantees him more money than the fifth-year option, but keeps him around a little bit younger and at a better, more usable number.
Yep.
That's kind of the way I see this move. I'm fine with it. I think Devontae Wyatt has shown flashes of being very disruptive and having a skill to get after the quarterback that we haven't seen from that defensive tackle since Mike Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with it. The cap's gone up enough where $12.9 million, not going to set you back too much.
Well said. All right, time to wrap up the show as we always do. It's time now for what we learn as you learn something new every day. We learn something new today, or I guess I learned something new last night that I'm telling you about today. And that, of course, is presented by our friends at Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. Whatever you're feeling, whether it's that Rock Island rum, that classic green bottle of gin, any other brandies, cherry brandy infused with local Door County cherries, apple brandy if you're making maybe something warm on a chillier day today, or if you're a whiskey guy like myself, the 27-time Gold Medal Award-winning single malt whiskey, my favorite, the bourbon, also the rye whiskey, all available wherever you get great local liquors. Check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com, to find the retailer nearest you. Affordable, local, award-winning, the amazing Door County Distillery. What I learned is you can still laugh in defeat. So last night after the Milwaukee Bucks season-ending loss and collapse to the Indiana Pacers, friend of show and Green Bay men's basketball coach, Doug Gottlieb, tweeted that this was one of the worst defeats he has ever seen in sports, up 7:40 seconds to go. That is as devastating as a loss as I have ever seen in sports by the Bucks, up 7:40 seconds to go. That's what Doug Gottlieb tweets. Our guy Homer, who you hear every day on the Homer Hour, weekdays from 5 to 6 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, man, he still got his fastball sometimes, man. This one from the top rope in response to Doug Gottlieb. Homer tweets, and you have certainly seen a ton of losses recently, as Green Bay lost more games than any Division I basketball program this year. And you have certainly seen a ton of losses recently. That put a smile on my face because objectively, very, very funny. And also very, very funny, I went through my camera roll last night, and what did I find but a picture of Homer and Doug Gottlieb hanging out together, which, very funny, made me chuckle. Now, what also made me laugh in defeat, there you go on the video stream, by the way, the picture of Homer and Doug Gottlieb hanging out together at Summerfest last year. Now, what also made me laugh in defeat was after the game, we had a little bit of a kerfuffle, right, between Giannis and John Halliburton, the father of Tyrese Halliburton. And NBA TV made an unbelievable creative and comedic decision to cut away from Giannis and John Halliburton beefing directly into Brooke Lopez and Boomer, the mascot of the Indiana Pacers, having a very kind, respectful exchange. And as we all know as NBA fans, The Lopez brothers, Brooke and Robin, famously known for beefing and fighting with NBA mascots. So it goes from a very not-so-peaceful moment between John Halliburton and Giannis Antetokounmpo into a very respectful exchange between a guy that famously beats up mascots and the mascot of the Indiana Pacers, which was just terrific comedic timing by NBA TV. So what I learned is even in crushing, sad, heartbreaking defeat, you can still smile.
I found that very amusing. I also saw some people saying, like, Brooke Lopez was messing around while Brawl was about that. Brooke is about that life.
Yes, he is.
I don't know what happened. I mean, maybe it's frustration with his performance throughout the course of the season. But he'll mix it up. And
I don't think he knew what was going on.
I mean, they also showed Bobby Portis just walking off the court, kind of doing his own thing.
And that's another guy.
As we know about Bobby, seen as he had to have a teammate's jaw wired shut after he knocked him out in the locker room as a member of the Chicago Bulls, they also are quick to action. So I think everyone was just kind of confused on what actually happened. Because why would you expect Giannis to be fighting?
I can't get over Boomer with an Indiana Pacers flag hanging over his shoulder, dapping it up with...
There's a grind out there for everyone.
I was watching this game with my girlfriend, who in a past life was a member of the Indiana Pacemates, the dance team for the Pacers. And she goes, yeah, Boomer's a great guy. And I go, wait a minute. Boomer's a character. What do you mean Boomer's a great guy?
The guy underneath.
I go, is there just one? Like, there's multiple Bangos, if I'm not mistaken. She goes,
there's multiple Boomer. There's just Bucky one Badgers.
I don't know if there's more than one.
Just one Bango?
Yeah, because Bango doesn't have to do push-ups.
Professional mascots, there's probably
Bucky.
Just one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and I mean, Bango's like doing acrobatics, backflips, jumping like through the hoop
Josh,
and stuff.
Hang on, Josh. We know this about Strofe. Even if he saw that and knew that, he would think there's multiple people that could easily do that because he himself thinks he could do that with a trampoline. So yeah, like that doesn't change anything.
Really good point. You know, the good news is, I went on a little rant about how disrespectful you two are on Monday. The good news is, we've really learned a lot about each other over the course of doing this show 200 and whatever we're at, 247 times. Yeah, this is good. All right, we got to wrap it up. Saved your what we learned. We'll get back to it on Friday. Will's week in review. Jair conversation. A lot of conversation on Giannis's future with the Milwaukee Bucks. Appreciate you hanging with us. If you missed any of it, of course, the full show available on YouTube. And, of course, the ESPN Wisconsin app available in any of your app stores. Apple's App Store or the Google Play Store, I believe they are both called. Where this full podcast available commercial free. Wherever you get your podcast, also Apple Podcast and Spotify. We're back with you Friday beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and of course, available in those same spots for your weekend. Thanks to Josh, thanks to Will, thanks to Hunter. We'll talk to you Friday. I'm Alex Strofe. Peace.